He caused us to love Him. Now, returning to Isaiah 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Notice for just a moment here by way of introduction. In the last part of verse 2 of Isaiah 2, talking about the church of the Lord Jesus being established at the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. The Lord will be exalted. Again, notice in verse 11, Isaiah 2, verse 11. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now that's a familiar phrase all the way through the book of Isaiah, in that day. Again, notice if you will, verse 17, the last part. And the Lord alone, the loftiness of men shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Well, guess what the title of this message is? The Lord shall be exalted alone in that day. Now, isn't this the bottom line in all that our great and glorious God does for us in the way of salvation and in the way of providence? His glory alone is all that is important and relative in the matter of God saving sinners. His glory alone. God forbid, the apostle said, that we should glory save in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that glorieth, let him glory only in the Lord. Now, isn't that our desire? That Christ alone shall be exalted in all things, in salvation and in providence. Jonathan Edwards, the old preacher that lived in this country back in the 1700s, one time he was the president of Princeton University, a place at one time where they taught and preached the gospel. But he wrote a book years ago called The History of Redemption. And the theme of that book was this: the grand design of redemption is one thing. Now, that's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will, each of us here, we will be found in Christ to the praise of the glory of His grace. Says that three times in Ephesians 1, doesn't it? He chose us, He redeemed us, made us new creatures to the praise of the glory of His grace. We will be found in Christ to the praise of the glory of His grace, or we will be condemned without Christ to the praise of the glory of His justice. But all things will serve His purpose, His glory. For the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. In that day of salvation, or in that day of eternal condemnation, He must have all the glory. That's so. That's so. Every believer, like Abraham of old, does not stagger or stumble at the promises of God through unbelief, but like Abraham, are strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that all that God promised, God is able to perform. Now, in chapter 2 of Isaiah, we have here a prophecy of the gospel age in which we live. We see the blessing and benefit of the gospel church being established through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in that day I will establish my house. The church in verse 2 here is called the Lord's house. And in verse 3, the house of the God of Jacob. And then he calls the church of the firstborn Zion. God said, I'll set my holy king, I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. His house. Psalm 26. Recently we studied that psalm, and you who were there remember the scripture in Psalm 26:8, where it says, Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house. It's the place where your honor dwells, in the house of God, where the assembly of believers meet together. It's the place where his honor dwells, where his gospel is preached, where his glory is seen, the preaching of the gospel. Notice, if you will, Isaiah 2, verse 2, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hill, and all people shall flow unto it. In the gospel day, this day, in the last days, this day, and upon the establishment of the gospel church, salvation in Christ, it says here in the last part of verse 2, that many shall flow unto it. God has an elect from all nations. You remember in Isaiah 43, he said, call my people from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory, they shall flow unto his house, where his gospel is preached, where Christ is made known through the preaching of the gospel. You see, he has an elect from all nations. He has an elect from all nations, out of every kindred, tribe, people, and nation under heaven. He has a people redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he says, all that the Father hath given to me, they shall come to me. And I will in no wise cast them out. Now it says that they shall flow unto it. Not naturally, but supernaturally, by the power of God. Naturally, we love darkness, not light. Naturally, we are at enmity with God, not in fellowship. Naturally, we are like free running water. Tell me, which way does free running water go? Downhill. Man's will is never Godward and upward. Man's will is always selfward and downward, like free running water. It always seeks its lowest course. Is only by the grace of God that we flow unto Christ, who is salvation. Look at verse 3. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the gospel, the word of the Lord. Those who have heard of God, those who have been taught of God, are eager to tell others about the Lord and his gospel. Preaching is simply one beggar telling another beggar where bread is found. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ crossed the path of that wild man in the tombs that no one could tame? He was a fierce, wild renegade, and no one could tame him until the Master walked on the scene. And after the Lord healed him, saved him, and justified him, this converted sinner wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what destruction was to him? He said, go home and tell your family how great things the Lord had done for thee, and how the Lord had compassion on thee. And he went home and began to publish all that the Lord had done. You see, it's one beggar telling another beggar how he was healed, where bread is found, where salvation is found. And then it says in Isaiah 2, verse 4, out of Zion shall go his word, out of Zion shall go the law. Now look at this. And he shall judge among the nations. How? With his gospel. He shall rebuke them in among many people. How? With his gospel. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations, or people, among nations, or races of people, shall not lift up their sword against nation, neither shall they learn war. War no more. He shall make wars to cease, it says in Psalm 46:9. Now, this is an amazing thing. Where have you heard that scripture read before? Where have you seen that scripture placed before? You know, this scripture right here, you all heard of the United Nations in New York City, that body of people that come together. In the front of that building, in the United Nations Plaza, this scripture is written. Isaiah 2, verse 4. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They have the vain delusion that they are going to usher in and bring in world peace. That's pure fantasy. There will be no peace among men until the Prince of Peace appears a second time and destroys this world as we know it and creates a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now Peter quotes that from Isaiah 65:17 in 2 Peter 3:13. But it comes from Isaiah 65. This here is not talking about some future state of things designed and created by man for the glory of man. It's talking here of what happens in the believer by God's sovereign grace in his heart and salvation right now. The war is over. When he invades our territory, when he invades our heart by his power and by his grace. You see, by nature, the carnal mind is at war with God. And when he invades our heart, we lay down our shotgun, we put up the sword, and we bow unto his sovereign claims. For we are reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. That's what that verse is talking about here. He's talking about that enmity being slain by his grace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ makes men peaceable. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and it causes us to love him and to love one another and to forgive one another. But this is not talking about, as some vain thinker might say, well, we're going to just teach everybody to get along. That's not going to happen. Our Lord said, until he comes, there'll be wars and rumors of wars until the Prince of Peace comes and puts an end to this world. Look at verse 5 now. Isaiah 2, verse 5. Oh, house of Jacob. Aren't you glad he's the God of Jacob? Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Oh, house of Jacob, come ye. Come right now. Come ye. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. He's caused the light of God's truth to shine in our heart. Let me read this to you over here. And if you'd like to turn, you can. 1 John chapter 1. If you don't want to turn, just sit and listen to it. He says, let us walk in the light of the Lord. 1 John chapter 1. It says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God, help me to walk in that light. Light of salvation accomplished in Christ Jesus. Since he has redeemed us by his grace, let us walk in the light of that grace. And he'll give us more light. Now I want to consider, that's a little bit of a lengthy introduction, isn't it? 14 minutes. I intended to do that introduction in 10 minutes. So somehow I've got to cut out 4 minutes somewhere. I want to consider for a moment this statement here that's found in verse 2, verse 11, and verse 17. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And I want to do it under two headings. First of all, in a general and a broad way, and a very universal way. In all things, the Lord alone shall be exalted. And then secondly, I want to consider this statement in a very personal way. In your own heart and in mine. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Okay, here's the first one. In a general, in a broad, in a very universal way. The Lord alone. Now here's I want this to, you take this home with you. And I want you to think about this all week long or the rest of your life. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. In that day. Now, let's look at six things. In the day of creation. In the day of creation, when God spoke all things into existence by the word of His power. He created all things by the word of His power. He upholds all things by the word of His power. God Almighty created all things by Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the day of creation, the Lord alone shall be exalted. It says in Colossians 1:17, He must have the preeminence. He must have the glory. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day of creation. That's so, isn't it? Secondly, in the day of His sovereign providence, when God has decreed what God has decreed in eternity, He will sovereignly bring to pass in time. For known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what He did. In heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. In providence, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For He does work all things after the counsel of His own will. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory, both now and forever. And then the text of Scripture says, that's Romans 11:36, and it ends with this word, Amen. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day of creation, in His sovereign working out of His decrees, providence. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Thirdly, in the day of salvation. For salvation is of the Lord. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. In the day of salvation planning. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For He is a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord alone shall be exalted not only in the planning of salvation, but how about in the execution of salvation? Who gets the glory in this? The Lord alone shall be exalted in accomplishing and in the execution of our salvation, in the accomplishment of it. He said it is finished. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him in our room and in our stead, being made sin for us, as the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Lord alone gets the glory for salvation, doesn't He? He will be exalted in that day, not only of its planning, its execution, but also in the day of its application. Being confident of this very thing, that God, who hath begun a good work in you, He will finish it. To whose praise and glory? The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Not only in that day of planning and execution, application, but in that day of sustaining power, we're kept by the power of God. And in its ultimate perfection, predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God has so designed and fixed things that in that day, the Lord alone shall be exalted. Fourthly, in the day of worship. In the day of worship. Why are we here today? To worship the true and living God. In the day of worship, it says the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In the day of worship, the Lord alone is to be exalted. We come together today to worship Him, to exalt Him, to extol Him, to praise Him, to preach His gospel, not to recognize and honor men. Did you ever notice that we never have Mother's Day recognition, the oldest mother, the youngest mother, the mother with the most children? We're not here to honor women. We never have Father's Day here, do we? We're not here to honor the oldest dad, the youngest dad. We're not here. But for one purpose, that is to worship God. We're not here to recognize and honor men, Mother's Day, Father's Day, or our nation's Independence Day. We're not here for that purpose either, are we? I would almost say that that's what's going on in most religious circles today, being the 4th of July. But we're not here today to honor our nation. We're here to worship God. In that day of worship, He alone shall be exalted. In the day of judgment, look over here in Isaiah 5, verse 16. In the day of judgment, who alone will be exalted in that day of judgment? Isaiah 5, look at verse 16. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Who's going to get the glory in the day of judgment? Christ alone. John 5:22 declares, the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. You see what I'm saying? In Acts 17:31, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. All judgment is relative to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, in Christ. In that day of judgment, Christ alone will have all the honor and glory. And in the day of His second coming, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Revelation 1:7 declared, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who have pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ. In that day of His second coming, the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Now that's point number one in a general, in a broad way. You could expand that and take it as far as you can go with it. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day of His incarnation, in that day of His resurrection glory, in that day of His ascension and enthronement, and in the day when He comes again. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, secondly is this. I want to consider this statement in a most personal way, in our own experience of salvation. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. In that day. Now, a couple things here. In the day of conviction, in a day of conviction of sin, when God is pleased by His sovereign power and grace, and by the power of God the Holy Spirit, to reveal unto our heart what we are in His sight, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. What a blessed day this is when God Almighty is pleased to strip us down, as the old country boy said, let's just shuck right down to the cob. What we are before God, we are S-I-N, through and through. There is none good, no, not one. What a blessed day when God is pleased to strip us down and put us in the dust as wretched sinners before God. In that day, He said, every lofty look of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man, verse 11, shall be bowed down. Down, sinner, down! I can't convict of sin. He can. And He does. In a day when the Lord teaches us what we are before His holy presence, that all of our supposed goodness, that all of our supposed righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight, the Lord alone shall be exalted in the beauty of His holiness. The Lord alone shall be exalted. When we are taught that everything we've ever produced is nothing but sin. Everything I think, say, touch, and do is tainted with the virus of what I am. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory alone. In that day of conviction. And it's not something that happens one time. This is the life of a believer, for we are continually being convicted and shown what we are before God. Being continually stripped and humbled and bowed down in His presence. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. In that day. Secondly, not only in the day of conviction, but in the day of revelation and the day of God's redemptive grace in our heart through Christ Jesus. When the Lord is pleased in His sovereign mercy to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ unto us. When He's pleased to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. In that day of revelation, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day when we see Him as altogether lovely. In that day of revelation, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day when we're made to know, when the Lord gives us understanding of His glorious person as God our Savior, that all of our salvation is in Christ and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, that He alone is all salvation. The Son of God is come. And He's given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true. And that we're in Him that is true. This is the true God. And this is eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. The Apostle John. 1 John 5:20. When we are made to know, when we are taught not only the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's God our Savior. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. When we're made to know by His sovereign grace. When we are taught of God how sin indeed is put away. How righteousness is established. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. How is sin put away? You know, it's difficult to put away sin. The blood of bulls and goats that flowed on Jewish altars for thousands and thousands of years did not and cannot put away sin. All my repentance, all my goodness, all my tears, all my deeds, all my merit cannot put away sin. We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. When He teaches us that we are redeemed with the blood of Christ and it's all His doing. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. You see, the Lord alone. Do you get my idea? This is God's truth. The Lord alone. I got a hold of something here. I know I do. It's His Word. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Has that happened in your heart? Has God enthroned Himself in your heart? The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day of conviction, in that day of revelation, and in that day, thirdly, in regeneration. In regeneration. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides in us. In that day of regeneration. What is that? What are we talking about? Our Lord said, except a man be born of God, born from above, he cannot see. He cannot understand. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then He said, you must be born again. In that day of regeneration, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. As we see Him as everything. For in the new birth, and being quickened by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and being made new creatures in Christ, for if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In that day, the Lord alone shall be exalted. The Lord alone shall be exalted. Having a new nature implanted within us by the operation of God's sovereign grace, whereby Peter said, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In that day alone, the Lord shall be exalted. You see, my friend, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And lastly, in the resurrection morning, in that glorious resurrection morning, when the dead shall rise in Christ Jesus, in that glorious resurrection morning, when this corruption must put on incorruption, when this mortal shall have put on immortality, and we shall be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, when this vile body shall be fashioned like unto His glorious body, and we shall see Him as He is, and be like Him as He is, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And we shall sing unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. To Him be the glory and honor both now and forever. Turn with me and read Isaiah 12. Turn over there. Believers are made willing by His power to give Him all the glory alone. For all that we are, all that we have, all that we forever will be is by His sovereign, free, and eternal grace. Isaiah 12, look at verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I trust you can read that with confidence and say that that is so. He's my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Look at verse 4. And in that day shall you praise the Lord and call upon His name, declare His doing among the people. Make mention, what does that say? That His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Oh, make mention, His name is exalted. You see, He's bowed us. We cast our idols to the wind. We cast our idols to the bat and to the mold and say, here you go, we don't need them anymore. We've been turned to God from our idols to serve the living and true God. If you're not willing for the Lord alone to be exalted in you, may God be pleased to change your thinking, your heart, your mind, your life, and give you faith in Christ Jesus. For I know this, one day you will be made to bow to Him in judgment. For we read earlier from Philippians 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee will bow, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in that day, mark it down, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day.